We are in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13. As we said last week, that the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, they have to do with Jesus's public ministry, and the next 8 chapters will cover more of a private teaching with his apostles. The next 4 chapters, chapters 13 through 17, will actually cover one night, the upper room discourse, with chapter 18 getting into the arrest of Jesus at Gethsemane. And the purpose of the Gospel of John, we've said over and over again, is found in John 20, verse 31, that says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And this is John's goal, that we may believe. And that's our goal here at Watson as well, that we would be a family of believers that proclaim and spread the gospel as we grow in our love for Christ and for one another, and that you would continually believe, and that you would tell others about the object of your belief, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And this just isn't my job, but it's yours as well. We are to all disciple and to evangelize. And my job is to equip you all for the ministry. And so today, Jesus, he is going to give us application for believing in him. And so let's read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. John 13. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am." If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. The gospel writer of John, he gives us clues and statements throughout his gospel to show us that Jesus died on Passover, that he is our Passover lamb, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 1, it tells us before the feast of Passover, before the feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world and return to the Father. Jesus knows that his destination is the cross. He knows it's coming. But he also knows that after this gruesome death that he will return to his heavenly Father. His hour had come. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we saw that certain Greeks, they came and they wanted to see Jesus. He said in chapter 12, 23, he said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And most assuredly," Jesus says, "I say to you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus knows that in less than 24 hours, he's going to be on the cross and will suffer and pay for the penalty of the sin of the world. And if you knew that you only had 24 hours left in this life, what would you do? Well, Jesus, he has a meal with his disciples, with his closest friends. And in verse 1, it says, "Having loved his own, he loved them to the end." When Jesus loves you, it will be to the end. It will be to the end of all time. His love is never ending. It's unconditional. We love him because he first loved us. When Jesus loves us, it will be to the end. Jesus is, he's going to finish what he was sent to do. He's going to finish the task that he was given to him by his Father. He was sent to give his life as a ransom for us. When Jesus loves you perfectly to the end, completely. He says in the Great Commission passage of Matthew, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. What great encouragement out of 2 Timothy 2:12. It says, "If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." God is faithful. Jesus is a faithful God. He keeps his covenants. He keeps his promises. His covenant of love goes for 1,000 generations. When God loves you, when you're loved by God, Jesus will love you to the very end. And as we said, it's just before the Passover. They have to get rid of all the leaven in the house. And it's like they're around on Fat Tuesday eating punchkis, Polish donuts. They're having a meal together. Jesus knew that the time is at hand. He knows his hour had come. It was never a surprise to Jesus that he was going to die, that he was going to be whipped, that he was going to be scourged, that he was going to be mocked, that he'd be spit upon, that he would stand before Pontius Pilate and testify to the truth. There was never a time when the Son of God thought, "Am I really God's son?" Jesus knew that he would depart from this world and return to his Father. And it says that he loved his own. When Jesus loves you, he will love you to the end of your life. And in this passage, Jesus, he's going to show us an act of love, what love is. He's going to demonstrate it. He's going to manifest it, and it's going to be sacrificial. And it's also going to be extremely humble. John repeats the fact that Jesus knows. Jesus knew, verse 1. Jesus knows again in verse 3 that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. And so supper has ended. It's done. Jesus, he gets up from the table, and he lays aside his garments. He takes off his coat. He takes off his clothes. He strips down, essentially. And he takes a towel, and he wraps himself with it. And he goes and he pours water to wash the disciples' feet. A menial task that was reserved for the lowest of servants. Someone has to do the dirty work. Someone has to do the dishes. Someone has to take out the trash. Jesus gets up after the meal, and he says, "I'll bus the tables, fellas. I'll do the dishes. I'll wash the feet. I'm going to show you an act of love." And this was supposed to be done before the meal, before anyone should have sat down and started eating. But nobody stepped up to do it. And so Jesus, the master, the teacher, he gets up and he says, "I'll do it." And you can just imagine the disciples, they're all flabbergasted, they're confused. They're probably asking all the same questions in their minds. The question, of course, is, what are you doing, Jesus? Are you going to perform another miracle? You're dealing with water, you're pouring water out. What's going on, Jesus? You've just stripped down. Jesus gets up from eating. He lays aside his garment, his tunic, his coat. He pours water into a basin. And the next time his garment's taken off, it will be by force, when he's stripped and his clothes are gambled by Roman guards. In Luke 7, we saw a picture of Jesus at the house of a Pharisee. He goes in for a meal, and a woman comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with her tears, and he wipes her hair. And Jesus mentions that this Pharisee did not offer water to wash his feet. The washing of feet was customary in Bible times, and the mention of washing feet here in John, it indicates that no one offered to do this most menial task. Foot washing was needed because they wore sandals. The streets were dusty and dirty, and they had to walk through garbage. Animal waste was on the roads. And they all reclined at this table. Feet would have been stinky. And next to someone's head as they reclined. And when you come to someone's house, a slave, the lowest person on the totem pole, was supposed to wash the guest's feet. And so Jesus shows them an act of love. He washes their feet. He shows us how a leader is to act. He loved completely. And next we will see his servant leadership. Jesus, he's going to show them who is the greatest. The one who is the greatest is the one who serves. And we know that immediately after this meal, there's going to be a dispute amongst themselves as to which one is considered the greatest. They're constantly thinking, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the vice president? And who's going to be this? And who's going to be that? And James and John, they've already have tried to have their mom ask Jesus for his right and left hand and to sit next to Jesus in his glory. And Jesus said that those places are only reserved for those that have been prepared for by the Father. And in the kingdom of heaven, the only form of government is that of a monarchy. It's not a democracy or a republic, a monarchy. And Jesus is the king. Jesus tells them, "He who is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest. He who governs as he who serves." Now, all of us have dirty feet. All of us have done something wrong. No one deserves the cleansing that Jesus offers. A dirty feet happens when we walk in this world. Titus 3:4-7, so relevant for this text and a text for grace. It says, "But when the kindness and the love of God appeared, not by works of righteousness we had done, because we had none, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having justified by his grace, we should become heirs of the hope of eternal life." Salvation of sins is only by his grace, unmerited favor. And so we've seen his love, we've seen his servant leadership. Next, we're going to see this uncomfortable situation with Peter, verse 8. Peter, usually the outspoken one, he tells Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." In which Jesus replies, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." If you're so proud that you cannot allow Jesus to wash even your feet, you cannot be his disciple. We must be washed by Jesus in order to be with him. We cannot be like last week in chapter 12:43, where it said they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God who stepped down from heaven, as Philippians 2:7 says. It says, "He made himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Amen. We talked about in Sunday school, there's two things that you need to know, that we are sinners and that Jesus saves us from our sins. We must come humbly before God. If we can't admit that we are sinners, then we need a Savior. We have no part with Jesus. And if you think that you can get to heaven on your own goodness and righteousness, go at it. Jesus says that your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And even then, it still wouldn't be enough. No one can earn the righteousness that is needed to enter the kingdom of God. It's a gift. And the only way into heaven is to let Jesus wash you. If not, then you have no part with Jesus. Because the first time Jesus came, he came not as a conquering king, but as a humble, suffering servant. He came not to be served, but to serve, we're told, and to give his life a ransom for many. This gives us the ultimate example of leadership. If you want to be the big dog, great. Start at the bottom. Put your life on the line. Start dying to self. And this act of humility by Jesus, it's actually a foreshadowing of what's going to come the next day. The cross, the humble act of laying one's life down so that we can have not just our feet cleansed, but our soul cleansed. All of us have dirty, stinky feet. All of us have dirty, stinky hearts. And only Jesus is the one that can cleanse them. And as Christians, we have weird, strange sayings like, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" If you're unchurched, you might think, how are we washed and cleansed by blood and of that of a lamb? And Peter here, he feels uncomfortable having the Lord wash his feet. Remember, Peter was the only disciple that walked on the water. He's not thinking, "Man, I hope that mojo doesn't wash off my feet." But he was with James and John when he heard the voice of the Father at the Mount of Transfiguration saying, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, then you have no part of me." And so Peter, he goes the other extreme. He says, "Well, then not my feet only, but my hands and my head as well." He goes from never to wash me all over. Because Peter knew that it wasn't just his feet that had sinned. He knew that it was his head and his hands as well. And you know, it's pretty hard to blame your feet. They just go where the mind tells them to go. Now, maybe you're like me and you trip over your own 2 feet, but Peter knows it wasn't just his feet that were sinful. Jesus says in verse 10, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet." What does Jesus mean here? He who has bathed only needs to wash his feet? Or when was the last time that Peter had bathed? Jesus says that you are clean, but not all of you. Peter's bathing or cleansing came when Peter believed in Jesus. When Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" It was Simon Peter that said, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." When Jesus asked many others after the feeding of the 5,000 plus, Jesus saying that no one can come unless the Father draws him, asking the disciples if they want to leave also in John 6, Simon Peter, he says, "With whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Bingo! Yahtzee! Eureka! He has it! He has proclaimed Jesus as Lord. Peter was a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner and that he needed to be cleansed. He knew that he couldn't keep the whole law and that he needed Jesus to cleanse him. Because all of us, too, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've inherited a sin nature from our ancestry, Adam. But Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous." Peter was clean because he believed and he confessed Jesus. Peter knew that he had sinned, and he's maybe too proud telling Jesus that Jesus would never wash his own feet, but Jesus is their master and teacher. Jesus shouldn't be washing feet. That's a slave's job to do. John MacArthur, he says that Peter failed to see beyond the humble service itself to the symbolism of spiritual cleansing involved. We're cleaned at salvation from the penalty of sin. However, we're still in this world. We will still sin. We need to be washed by the Word of God. Cleansing from the pollution of sin that still comes from this world when we sin. And just because we're saved doesn't mean that we are perfect, not yet at least. Verse 10, Jesus said that Peter was clean, but not all the disciples were clean. Verse 11, it gives us the insight, it gives us the explanation. Jesus knew who would betray him. Jesus knew that Judas was unregenerate, that he wasn't saved. And yet Jesus still washes Judas's feet. Jesus shows love and mercy. Verse 13, Jesus is the teacher and Lord. He has washed their feet, and he encourages them to wash one another's feet. No, not one of them humbled themselves to wash their master's feet. Their master didn't need cleansing. Not one of them thought it prudent to get up and wash one another's feet. Jesus tells them that he has given them an example, that as Christians, we're all equal around the table. All of us need to first be washed by the Master, and then we also need to serve one another. We're told that if we know these things, we're blessed if we do them. There's a difference between just hearing what Jesus says and actually doing it. And so the application for us, once we have received grace and salvation from Jesus, it doesn't need to be repeated. When grace has been received, it is permanent. However, sanctification and the process of becoming holy is a work that we have to do, but we are helped by the Holy Spirit. We should continually seek repentance and confession. It is needed for us to wash our feet because we all still sin. We are washed by the cleansing of his word and by hiding it in our heart and by loving others. So what does washing someone else's feet look like to you? Well, maybe it's helping a young mother, offering to make a meal for someone or to watch kids for a date night. A random act of kindness to someone that can't pay you back. An act of humility on your part. Maybe it's cleaning someone's bathroom. Jesus will later say that they will know that you are disciples by their love. Call an elderly person to check in on them. Be the first to say you're sorry when you've offended someone. Seek forgiveness. As long as it's up to you, live at peace with all men, we're told. The greatest act of love you can do is to tell someone about Jesus, to invite them to church, take them out for a meal afterwards. But we're in a sin-cursed world. We are to try to emulate Jesus in everything that we do. We will fail. We will mess up. We will sin. We will need our feet washed over and over again by the Savior. We do this by repentance and reading his word and doing his word. Admitting that we have sinned, that we need forgiveness, that we need Jesus' cleansing power in our lives, that we can't do it on our own. And thankfully, we have an advocate. We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Paul tells us in Acts 20:35 that Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive. You will receive happiness and joy when you serve." We are to work hard to help those that are less fortunate, the poor, those that are in need of assistance and that cannot take care of themselves, the unborn, the widow, the poor, and the weak. God calls us to steward our resources wisely so that we can help others. Set an amount of money aside so that you can help others. When we give, we wash one another's feet. We deny ourselves. It puts our pride in check. When we put to death self, it is then that we can start to see spiritual growth. God has created us to be conduits of his love and of his grace. And we can reflect what he has done for us by reflecting the hope of the gospel that is in us. We are to call Jesus our teacher and our Lord. He has taught us how to live. Our lives are to be ones of sacrifice and service. And this is hard in a world that is focused primarily on self. Jesus says a servant is not greater than his master. If Jesus is your master, then we are his servants. We are told to wash one another's feet. Jesus says in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. As the old saying goes, knowing and doing are two different things. Genuine faith will always lead to genuine action. The book of James, it tells us about faith in action, that it's to be meaningful, it's to be tangible. If your faith is real, it will be signified by a life of service. When God changes us, when he washes us clean, he imparts to us saving faith and a changed heart. Jesus says in Matthew 16:24 that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus, he's given us the example of servanthood. We are to be his servants no matter what our occupation is. Whether you're a supervisor or an owner, if you have authority, if you've been given power, you're not to lord it over people. A servant leader is to lift up, to serve, not to tear down. And we're to be a blessing to others. If you love to exert power or authority over others, you may not be fit for the kingdom of God. Because at the cross, it's level, and Jesus is the only one that is lifted up. And in order to follow Jesus, we must be willing to also take up our cross, our instrument of death. We are to publicly identify ourselves with him. And if you are Christ, if you belong to Jesus, you are loved to the very end. You are his when you believe in and on his name. It is precious to you. Trust that he will complete it, that he will do it. He will keep it to the very end. He has given us the example, and we're blessed if we do them. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loved his own, and he loved them to the very end. All authority, all power, all things have been given to your Son. And he became obedient, even to death on a cross, the payment for sin. Lord, may we be cleansed by Jesus. May we confess him as Lord, and may we forsake our sin and cling to Christ. Your word says that we're to believe in the Lord Jesus, and we will be saved. We're to repent. We're to turn from our sins. It says, unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Lord, we're to confess our sin to you. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we're to confess you to others. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Lord, help us to trust Jesus. He's able to keep us from stumbling. Lord, give us servants' hearts. Give us humility and selflessness. Allow us to imitate Jesus, to be his ambassadors and representatives. Thank you that you sent your one and only Son. It is for his sake and your glory we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.